And in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1, the scripture says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." Hear that. "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Let's read it again. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Plan to preach a message. Pray the Lord will help to bless to preach a message this morning entitled, "You Do Have a Yoke." You do have a yoke. Let's pray. Father, we come to you at prayer at this time, asking for your help and blessings. We thank you for your blessings in the services already, and pray, Father, that you would help this portion of your word and help me to preach your word as it please you, and give us all attentive hearts unto it. Lord, that your people might be strengthened and edified. We might be built up in your most holy faith. We might be convicted and strengthened in you and by your word and your truth. And Father, we'd avail ourselves of the Spirit of God, your Spirit within us, and we might be obedient unto you in every way and to your service and the ministry that you've called us all into in your church here. Help with your word and bless it to our hearts and to our lives and to our lips. And Father, we pray for those that are here and not saved, that Lord, you'd open their hearts and their eyes and their ears, and Lord, you'd save them all. You're able, Father, and I pray, Father, that you would. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake, and amen. You do have a yoke. Everybody in the house, everybody that's living, they have a yoke. Now, in our day, in our culture, we don't know much about yokes, okay? And there are some machinery that, pieces of machinery that are called yokes, and that's kind of interesting. But I think the yoke that's indeed is being referenced here in the scripture is that yoke that we commonly refer to, that is that piece of wood that is upon oxen, okay? And if you go over, you study about India, they yet have oxen. And even in Africa, they have oxen, beasts of burden, beasts of power, that are used to do labor and to do work. And it's more than one can do, but when they put a couple of them together and put a yoke between them, they're able to do a lot of work. Now, we've got some in the auditorium today that know about harness, okay? And you lived in a day where you know about harness, which was a development beyond that of a yoke, made out of leather and made out of maybe pieces of wood and such as that. But the scriptural reference here is that of a yoke, made out of a part of a tree, all right, and taken and shaped, shaped to the contour of that beast, shaped to be able to make it to where it would lay right on the shoulders. And even though they would do all work all day long and would take and pull the cart or pull the logs or do whatever kind of work that's being done, a lot of the pyramids and the great structures there around the Mediterranean were built with the labor of not only men but of animals. And they would be able to, with that yoke sized and fitted just right, they would be able to do a lot of work, and it wouldn't break through the skin. It wouldn't cause them injury. A taskmaster or a beast owner that wouldn't care about their beast would not care about what the yoke would do to the beast, and could be, if it was malfitted and caused injury and caused infection and caused a breaking through of the skin, the beast would just suffer. A yoke. The apostle writes here to the churches of Galatia, and they have this temptation to, and this affront to go back into Judaism and to bring Judaism into the Lord's churches. And the apostle is writing to them don't go that way. It's a dead way. It's not the way that our Lord has given us. And in this chapter, after he's spoken to them much about wanting to go, their desire to go back into Judaism and the folly of that, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." He's set us free. Indeed, he has set us free. He saved us, and he saved us from our sins, and he's set us free from sin. You know, we who are saved, we who our Lord has saved, we know the difference between sin and righteousness. By the power of the Spirit of God, we have within us the ability to be able to avoid it and to steer away from it. Oh, yes, we do sin, and we hate that, but you know what? We do have the ability not to sin. because of the Spirit of God living within. We're even told, John tells us, that the new man doesn't sin. And we've talked many times and referenced many times about this, the state our Lord has left us in. He says, Christ hath made us free. Do you want to go back into bondage? Do you want to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage? That's how it used to be. There was a yoke that was upon us then, and it had us bound. It had us tied down. In Jude 16, the book of Jude 16, we want to take a look at a few points of how there are different yokes. Jude 16. Jude writing, and he says about these that are wayward against the Lord and railing against God and the woes upon them and the things that they have done from the Lord. Jude says in verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, their own desires, their own thinking, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. First yoke that we want to mention, and there are many, but the first yoke that we want to mention this morning is that yoke of pleasing others. That yoke of pleasing others. We live in a day where our young people and even old alike, want to follow after the famous. That's the way to fit in. That's the way to stand out. I want to be different like everybody else. Right? I want to be different like everybody else. And all this craziness, and I don't even mention their names. I don't want our recording to even be soiled with the mention of their names. But famous people, infamous people, that people want to be like because they want to please them to show that they're like them, or they want to impress others. It's craziness. Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Connected to this is these words, I've really become to abhor them and give consideration to these words. These words trouble me. Folks will say, maybe we've even said, I guess you think so-and-so about me. Don't worry about what people think about you. Worry about what the Lord thinks about you. Okay, we do have a witness that we're to have and live, and we need to be concerned about that. But understand, our witness to the region and community, to our family, to brothers and sisters in Christ and so on, is contingent upon what the Lord has instructed us. If we've got things right with the Lord, the witness to others will be fine. The yoke of pleasing others. The Lord Jesus says in Mark chapter 8, verse number 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. It's more important what the Lord thinks. It's most important what the Lord thinks. Not this yoke of pleasing others. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10, the apostle writes to the church of Colossae, he says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, pleasing the Lord. See, if we're pleasing the Lord, we'll be right with others. And if they don't understand or they don't get it, well, then their problem is then with the Lord. And I'm not talking about any reason for us to be rude. I'm not talking about any reason for us to not be good stewards. But if we're looking to please our Lord, you know, we won't be bound up with that yoke of pleasing others. What are people thinking about me? What are people have ulcers and have all kinds of issue and problem worrying about what other people are thinking about them. And we are not like our Lord is, as our brother mentioned this morning and showed this morning about the omniscience, the all-knowing of the Lord. We speculate about what people think or are tempted to do so, but we really don't know. And then based on what we think other people are thinking, we might have anxiety and issue and such as that. If we have our thinking about what does the Lord think about me? That you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, he writes to the saints at Colossae, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Isn't it our Lord that says we ought to treat our neighbor like we want to be treated? Yeah, if we walk pleasing to our Lord, we won't be bound by this yoke, a plague that we have in our society. John writes in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and whatsoever ye ask, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, the Lord, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I need to be concerned about what my Lord thinks about me rather than others. The yoke of pleasing others. We come to Romans chapter 1, and this is one in our day. And Clarissa sang about the truth. Pilate asked, what is truth? And what a terrible state, Pilate was in. The worship, the paganism of the society in which he was raised and became subject to, it just left man empty. How could you know anything? That society, that government, that way, that people, they just did what they felt was right to serve themselves. And if you're my friend, it's because you're for me. But if you can't do anything for me, then you're not my friend. There's no commitment to a higher power that says, like our Lord says, love me. The Lord says, love me with every part of your being and love your neighbor as yourself. They're devoid of that because it was just dog eat dog. They were a lot of conquerors. And what is truth? What is truth? The Lord comes in a very powerful way, not even having any fear of Pilate at all. And Pilate marvels at that because Pilate can say he lives or he dies. Pilate's used to men groveling before him for their lives. And the Lord Jesus Christ just stands there, sits there, doesn't say anything till it's time to say anything. And Pilate says, don't you know that I've got the power to kill you or to save you alive? The Lord says, you wouldn't have any power over me unless it's given to you. You know, not that the Lord's nonchalant, but he's just very matter of fact. It's just the way it is. He didn't fear Pilate, you know, because he was doing what the Father. But here we have in our day this yoke of political correctness. And I find this here, and I hate to read this portion of this passage in chapter 1 without reading this at the beginning. Let's start in verse number 16. Let's look here in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen and amen. For therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As sinners are saved, as they have faith in the Lord, this one's saved and that one's saved, this one believes, that one believes, the greatness and the power of God is revealed every time a sinner is rescued and that miracle of salvation is accomplished by our Lord. As it is written, the justified shall live by faith in God. In his Savior, in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know in our day. Listen, it goes on to say here, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest, is shown forth, is revealed, as it said in the previous verse, in them, for God hath showed it unto them. A subtitle of this passage and this, considering this yoke of political correctness, there are just many things that are obvious. Obvious things and obvious facts. And man in his sin and wickedness and his hatred of God denies them to his destruction. The yoke of political correctness. Did Rome succeed in pursuing what she did? Did the Greeks? Did the Syrians? Did the Babylonians? Did any succeed? Did any build a lasting kingdom? They all implode, don't they? And you know, and when madness prevails and God is pushed away from society, from government, from a nation, a people, from the generations that are at hand, and children are taught this madness and this craziness of just denying obvious things and obvious facts, you end up with a society that implodes. And it's a yoke. I mean, it's a yoke that's just pulling down to destruction. And we are amazed and marvel when the news, when you read some snippet or you view or hear some snippet of news about the madness that is prevailing at hand. I'll not mention any of it. You know it's at hand. What can happen is we can be so bombarded with it that we're not ashamed of it anymore. We're not troubled by it anymore because it's so prevalent. I'm a man. I was born a man, and I'll be a man till the day I die. It's just the way it is. No matter what anybody seeks to do or what I seek to do, I'm a man. It's a fact. It's obvious. Oh, but Lord help us, the yoke of political correctness. Listen here. For the invisible things, verse 20, of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. This is not a mistake, what you see out here in the world. You, look at your hand. Right now, look at your hand. Look at it. Make it move. It's not a mistake. That's a wonder. Do you understand how much money it would take to try to make something that would kind of resemble that, but could never do what you can do with that? That's just getting started with the basics. Clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. And see, that's the issue, because that's what the wickedness of man in this old world system and Satan wants to pull down. So they are without excuse. Let's read. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain, empty in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You go down a path of that kind of craziness and that kind of wickedness, denying things that are obvious and the things that God has done, more madness and craziness will just follow one right on down the path to hell. It does it. It just compounds. It's exponential. We even witness it in our day. They become empty in their imaginations, thinking up. You know, we live in this day of dreaming up a reality. That's what folks are looking to do. They're looking to dream up a reality. This is the reality. And eternity is the reality. And if you're here without Christ as Savior, hell and the lake of fire is the reality that you're heading for. You can't dream it away. You can't wish it away. We got a leadership at hand in our nation that wants to wish things to be. And it's not the way that it is. Because what's at hand is what we have. I mentioned in recent times how it is with this madness that's at hand, this madness of political correctness. A problem comes up with an obvious solution, and we just can't even, as a nation and our leadership, look at it and say, here's what we need to do. We just mull around about what can we. It's craziness. It's craziness. May Lord help us. Let's read on. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what we have. Oh, we really know. We really know about this, about physical gender and identifying with another thing. And what that leads to, it's just madness. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man. That's the issue at hand. We don't have the worshiping of beasts and setting up bulls and Chicago and Boston. We don't have problems with that. We've got the problem of worshiping self, worshiping man. Taking that which is only attributable unto God, as our brother has pointed out in his lessons about the attributes of God, and bringing it down here to man. We know better. We know better. All these other societies and these cultures before us and all the things that they pursued after, they didn't do well, but they just didn't know what we know. The yoke of political correctness, the madness of it. They became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, verse 23, into the image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, that of sodomy and lesbianism, who changed the truth of God into a lie. The truth of God is that he instituted marriage in the family at the beginning, before sin, in the Garden of Eden, and that's his design and his way. But now they're telling lies about that, aren't they? They're telling lies about it. Oh, and if you say anything about the way it's been for 6,000 years, well, you're just not tolerant. Oh, but those that are supposed to be tolerant, they're not tolerant of the position of the truth of what God says, are they? They're only tolerant to go against the truth, the facts of the obvious. If you got some harebrained scheme that you want to pursue and think of the way of create a new reality, then yeah, that's great. If that's the way you feel about it. It's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. Wherefore God, verse 24, gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who chained the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature, mankind. That's where we're at now, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Paul writes, and the word of God says, what they get out of that wicked pursuit is what they deserve. And the thing about it is, they have no future. They have no posterity. You know what? To have a posterity, they have to go and kidnap another. Amen? Because they're not following the obvious way of nature and that which our Lord has created. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and that's where we are today, brothers and sisters, in our land, the mention of God is an assault and an affront to the politically correct. I believe that God made us and God did this, as it says in his word. God says this about himself and what he has done. Get out of here. Stay away. Stop the children's ears, they say. This cannot go any further. We've got to take you and put you under the house. And the thing is, it's obvious. It's obvious. I find it interesting. Well, that's a subject for another time. Let's go on. Does not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And see, once that has accomplished interviews of college, our young people in college, and the lack of reason and understanding that they have about the truth, with the giving over to a reprobate mind, there's not a thing that can come out of that mind that have any common sense, and for sure spiritual sense, but no common sense whatsoever. It's not likely they'd be able to even feed themselves if there was a crisis. Or have an understanding about what to do. A reprobate mind. That's what this thing of political correctness, this yoke is. And to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. As we're told over and over again in the school system and school systems, the children run the roost. The teachers can't do anything with them. And the parents are now, we're down a few generations down the line now that the parents support the children in everything that they want. And the children don't have sense enough to know what's right, and they've not been taught. The parents haven't been taught anything. The children haven't been taught anything. And so this, it makes it to where this inventing of the reality that's desired rather than the reality that we have is in vogue. without understanding, verse 31, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Paul's words are strong there, but that's what the Lord says is the case. We come to Acts chapter 15. There's another yoke that's at hand, and this yoke is a great destroyer of men. In Acts chapter 15, we read here in verse number 6 this. The brethren from Asia Minor have come, and they are meeting, or up in Syria, have come down to meet with the church at the church at Jerusalem, about these Gentiles being saved. And these that are saying that they need to be circumcised. Again, Judaism being brought back in. And so they're meeting about this. And we see here in chapter 15 of Acts, verse number 6, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been a much disputing, so there's talking back and forth about it, Peter rose up, because he was there. He saw the Gentiles first saved at the preaching of the Word of God, didn't he? He saw that. No laying on of hands. All right? Just the preaching of Jesus Christ. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Verse number 10. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? There's that yoke of religion. The yoke of religion. Here recently, hearing about folks that, and I mentioned maybe in the services this morning about what a terrible way to live, to live in a thing where you believe you're saved and then you can lose your salvation. But if you keep the religion up, then maybe you'll be okay. We think about Catholicism and Protestantism and all the even cults and the things, the ritual that they go through, and all they got to do enough of it. You got to say enough of the rosary. You got to say so many of this and so many of that, and go here and do this and do that and do the other. But maybe you'll keep God off your back. You keep God pleased with you. Maybe the Lord will let you in somehow. Folks die under Catholicism, and their families are sold a bill of goods that if they will give or if they will do, that there will be those that will be assigned to pray them out of purgatory, to get them out of hell and the Pharisees even believed that they'd go and die and suffer for the bad part of what they did. And once they suffered enough, then maybe they would go on to be religious practice. The pagans in South America and Central America millennia ago that would over and over and over offer human sacrifice, trying to appease the gods. Thousands of people, tens of thousands of people murdered for the sake of their religion. Just a consideration here. Let's read in verse number 10. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Think about it. The Lord gave the religious practice that he had designed unto the Jews. Sacrifice, ceremony, garments for the priests, all kinds of order. The order of the tabernacle, the order of the temple that Solomon built, the order of the temple that Zerubbabel built again, as we see in Ezra and Nehemiah. The Lord gave that religion, that religious practice, and it was right and appropriate for the Jews to obey the Lord in. But Peter says, we couldn't keep it. Why do you want to saddle the Gentiles with it? Because we read over in Hebrews chapter 10, invite you to turn over here, read this for yourself. The apostle writing here to the Jews in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 1. For the law having a shadow, Hebrews 10, 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of the sins every year. Got to go back next year. Had to go back yesterday. Three of the high priest. I can just imagine the high priest thing in 359 days, and I got to go back in there again to the Holy of Holies, which was a weighty thing for the priest to do, to go offer a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice for his own sins and then the sins of the people. For it is not possible, verse 4, that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. If the worship and ceremony and sacrifice and order of worship designed by God Almighty and given to the Jews, if that won't work, what other religion will work? Religious practice. Now, it was in its right place and it spoke of Christ. And the Jews were right to pursue it, but salvation was not found in those things. Salvation was found in the one that those things pointed to. So all those things that the cults and the pagans and Catholicism and the Protestants pursue and do, thinking they gain favor with the Lord. Listen, if what the Lord gave the Jews wouldn't do it, can any of that invented by men, does it stand a chance? The yoke of religious practice. In Galatians chapter 4, our brother writes in verse 24 and 25, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage. You hear that? That in and of itself, looking to the law and that which was given at Sinai, just by itself, pursuing that for the redemption of the soul, the forgiveness of sins, it's a yoke of bondage. It's a yoke of bondage. To think that we and pursue that we can save ourselves, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. I believe he's speaking about the Jews yet continuing in and wanting to pursue that Judaism and that ceremonial law and sacrifice and order, even though the veil had been rent in twain top to bottom at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come to John chapter 8. We see the true yoke. Here our Lord dealing with these in John chapter 8. We pick it up in verse number 21. The woman's taken in adultery before the Lord. He deals with her. He writes on the ground from the oldest to the youngest. As the Lord writes upon the ground, he says to him, cast the first stone. He said, you that are without sin, you cast the first stone at her. And I think he's talking about in dealing with this. They only brought the woman. They didn't bring the man. If she was taken in adultery, as they said in the very act, where's the man? The law was clear on that. They were guilty. The Lord pointed out they were guilty. The Lord deals with the woman and he asked where her accusers are. And she said, you have no one here to condemn you. And he said, oh, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. Don't be doing that anymore. And I believe the Lord saves her. He talks about himself being the light of the world. He talks about, they question the Lord about his record and his testimony. And then we pick it up here in John 8:21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. You shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, and I am from above. You're of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. So they had a problem with the Lord. They didn't want to receive him as being the Messiah, that what all the scriptures pointed to. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. He was no freelancer. They understood not that he spake unto them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things which that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. And Jesus said unto those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you're really saved, it says here they believed. He said, you being believers, you will continue in my word, and it'll be manifest that you're believers. It'll be shown that you're my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth in being my disciple, following my words. And you know what? The truth will set you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest then thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34, Jesus answered and answered them, verily, verily, very important. Can't do without it. Don't let it pass. I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And a servant's in bondage. And sin indeed is a yoke that kills. Oh yeah, you have a yoke. You have a yoke. We read on. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. Because see, the servant in that yoke, he's not part of the household. He's not part of the family. He's just their servant. And sin has no future. Sin has no blessing. Sin, the yoke of sin, the servitude that sin holds and brings over the individual that is in bondage to it, it does nothing but kill them and bring them demise. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but listen, there is one that abides, and that's the Lord, the Son. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed, free from that yoke of sin. Free from that bondage that you've never known freedom about even before. See, salvation will bring a following of our Lord and a rejoicing in our Lord and a rejoicing in the truth of our Lord that indeed does set us free. There's many that claim salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ and there's no impact on their life. Why? They haven't been saved. They haven't been changed. If the Son, verse 36, therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed. You don't have to tell me that, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Why are you against me? Why am I your enemy? I speak that which I have seen of my Father from God Almighty, Jehovah God, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. And the Lord is the only one that knows those kind of things. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if a God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust, the desires of your father, you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Jesus is the convincer. You're accusing me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory, but there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, If any man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, I honor myself. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him, and if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. Verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Why read all that? Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing directly with them about who he is, who sent him, and the Spirit of God at work in him. And what do we have here? They buck against him. They buck against him. They buck against him. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come down to the earth and become a man. And he's talking directly to them about the truth of him coming, why he's coming, why he has come. And look what the yoke of sin does. They deny him to the point of wanting to kill him. The yoke of sin is deadly, isn't it? Right there in the face of God the Son. Hearing the truth of salvation by Jesus Christ directly from the mouth of the Savior. See what the yoke of sin does? It's deadly. It is deadly indeed. The yoke of sin. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, the naysayers and the gainsayers against God through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error, while they promised them liberty. Don't we see, isn't that what the PC crowd, isn't that what the humanistic crowd, isn't that what the way of the world, the way of man, the way of our governments, the way of Satan promises? Be free, be free, be free to do whatever you want to do. Be free to steal from another. Be free to live the life that you believe you deserve. Be free to do be free to discover yourself in the depths, they don't say the depths of depravity of your heart, but to discover yourself however you want. You've got it coming. You're a person. You're accountable to no one. They promise liberty. While they promise them liberty, verse 19 of 2 Peter 2, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. The yoke of sin. In conclusion, we come to Matthew 11, and I trust maybe you were thinking that that would be a concluding verse, because this is how we know we are all under a yoke. You want the yoke of sin? You think the yoke of sin promises liberty and a good time and live it up? Well, for a season, the flesh can be appeased and be pleased in that. But you know what? The yoke of sin will bring to death at the end of this life. The yoke of sin will even bring, from the human standpoint and what the scriptures tell us, even an early death of what normally should be. Why should you die before your time, the scripture says? The yoke of sin carries with it and drags with it the condemnation and damnation of the Lord that John 3 tells us abides upon every unrepentant sinner. The yoke of sin. The one that's made that yoke doesn't care about it not roughing up the neck of the one that's yoked by it because they've got him trapped. The yoke of sin doesn't care about the well-being of the one that's yoked. All it cares about and all it's pursuing is just to bring them down. To bring them down, like many others have been brought down. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he says in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you see that you're laboring and heavy laden under that old yoke of sin? The yoke of political correctness, the yoke of pleasing others, the yoke of this world, that it's chafing and bruising and causing wounds and bleeding. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Isn't it great to be saved? Isn't it great to be redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't it great for the Lord to take off that old yoke of sin and take it and thinking about how it is in those countries and how the yoke of that oxen. Wouldn't it be great taking that yoke? Our Lord, in a sense, has taken that old yoke and burned it. That old, abusive, wicked, sinful, condemning, death laden yoke, the Lord has done away with it. And he's put his nice yoke upon us. A yoke of life. Oh yeah, we've got a yoke. You've got a yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. He came as Savior, and praise God he did. And you know what? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. That yoke of sin won't give you any rest, will it? It won't. No break time. No off time with the yoke of sin. It just keeps on dragging down and abusing and ruining. But the Lord says with his yoke, there's rest unto your soul. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Remember, the reason for the yoke is to bear up under a burden. It's to do some work. And that's interesting how the Lord has left his children here. He's left us here to work, especially we who have been saved and put in his church. He's left us here to work. Well, it's daytime. Well, there's a harvest at hand, because nighttime cometh and we won't work anymore. We'll lay our yoke down. We'll be with our Lord, won't we? My burden is easy. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. As our text verse reads in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1, children of God, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, the yoke of sin, the other yokes, if you will, that are there in the world. But bear under the yoke of Christ. And you that are here and not saved, this passage speaks to you about that yoke of bondage that you're under. Brother Jim, I'm just young. I'm just young. I've not got out, done anything wicked and sinful like I've heard about others and even see the things in the world and all that. But you know what? You do have the yoke of bondage upon you. How about just considering about how it is with yourself? And even though you're young and that, are you self-willed? Do you want to do what you want to do rather than what the Lord would have you to do? Your opinion and your place and what you want done, that holds the highest esteem, whether it harms someone else or not. It's what you want to do. But the Lord calls us to do other things. And to believe other things and to hear other things. Self-will is the greatest manifester of that yoke of sin and bondage. We are in bondage without Christ. We are in bondage to our own selves. And ourself and in our flesh and in our natural man, there's no good thing. We point you to Christ. Repent of your sins. And believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus says, come unto me. The Lord Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. The Lord Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden's light.